Welcome to episode 7.
Bar kick! Point!
Of the Traders NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. Today we look at a bloody disappointing round and look ahead to round 7 without hitting any parked cars.
Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy, and I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warn Dogs.
And Calvin.
Calvinator, who beat Warnie by a point.
Oh, wow, we were about to go around the grounds.
It was a low scoring round.
I couldn't help myself, Roy.
No, I don't blame you.
I've jumped the queue here. 2006 is what I scored this week.
What happened that year?
Not much.
No, not much.
Neither did my team. It did not do much this week. So, yeah, 2006, bit of a disappointing score. I reckon it was probably slightly below what we would be deemed as par.
Well, it must be if I scored below you.
Well, that's not the first time this has happened. Dog, how did you go?
Well, yeah, this is actually back-to-back weeks that I've been the lowest scorer out of the three of us.
I've noticed.
There's something wrong at the Warn Dogs. Yeah, 2005, that's 1 point less than you, Calvin.
I know, I was nervous last night. I thought like an overnight handball.
They're a killer, aren't they? You can't brag early.
No, I didn't. I kept very quiet.
I was stressing a little bit because, I do every weekend, I think. But I was looking at my live rank. It was outside of 1,000, which I haven't been yet this year.
Come and join me.
Yeah. So I was sat outside there, but then got back inside. So I'm 770th overall. Can you try that one for me, Roy?
770. What's so funny?
Okay, now bad score. I'm putting the week behind me. I'm in full on buy prep, I think, mode at the moment. But yeah, Roy, you had a bigger score than both of us.
It was bigger, but it was still nothing to write home about. I had 2069, which was solid. Like I said, without being exciting.
All right, it's time to kick off with the negative threes, and it's time to put the boot into someone who hasn't been pulling their weight. And for me, he's very lucky to avoid multiple negative threes.
Scott Selwood?
No, he's...
You got rid of him, didn't you?
I got rid of him. I brought in the pig. So, that's a weight off his shoulder. And I looked at Scott Selwood's score over the weekend thinking, if you outscore the pig, I will.
It's not possible.
No, not possible. But I'll tell you who didn't outscore the pig, and that was Ben Griffiths. 46. I've had enough of the dog. Look, he just can't keep sitting there on your back line producing poor scores like that. And he's got Geelong this week.
Are you going to do something about it? Unlike what you did with Selwood every time you gave him a negative three.
He will go this week. He has to.
Oh, right. Yep. Okay. Well, my negative three, I am looking at more of a premium player. And that is Joel Selwood. 2 weeks in a row, he's copped a bit of a tag. But I think more of it is throwing the skirt over the head when he does get a bit of attention.
The thing is, Warren, I thought he was past this.
We discussed this
late last year. He was beyond a tag, untaggable, will still get you that 100.
Well, the first four rounds this year, he averaged 119. He was awesome. He pumped out beast scores, and then these last couple of weeks have been atrocious.
Roy brought it up earlier this year and wondered whether the Selwood dog has died. There's something going on in the family, and we wish them all the best. But I just don't think... What's going on with them?
I don't know. How's that one going in the VFL? Is he getting a kick?
Don't know. I haven't logged into my VFL Adam? Fantasy side.
Adam Selwood, isn't it?
I think it might be.
Right.
Now, Dom Tyson gets my negative three. I wanted to get rid of him last week, but he had that handy bye, and it gave him one more week.
Yep.
Just watching him looking like he was a bit scared out there.
He did.
It was a real turn off. Like, he had about four at quarter time, but if he got points from running away for a contest, he could have been on 100. It was amazing. Anyway, he came good in a way. He got to 66, but I can't have
time to
that
go.
Waste.
That's below his break even. Yeah. He's hit his high price now.
I'd rather take a donut through the buys than keep him purely for the fact he was good for my buys. So Dom Tyson is gone. Having said that, thank you for your time. He earned about 130,000. Averaged pretty well, about 79 as well. But negative three, see you later.
All right, get positive, Calvin.
I will try, Warnie. I will try. I looked down my list to designate a plus three. I've gone to Colin Jasny for his 83.
I like it.
Yeah, thanks, Roy.
He is getting the job done.
He is getting the job done. A little Tassie boy out there running around doing his thing. Yeah, so 83 points from him. That's near double Griffiths.
Yeah, I know. Like, I was watching him. He was on track for 100 too. Yep. I nearly texted you a message.
Yep.
I was going to say...
Why didn't you?
Kissed on the collo, but no. I restrained. Yeah, he scored really well.
Keep going, mate. Getting it done for me.
My Cade Simpson gets my positive three. He was... Well, at quarter time, I wasn't too happy. I wasn't a very happy person on that Saturday afternoon in that twilight game where he had 4 points at quarter time.
Mm.
And wow. I thought, you know, he's going to be in this other column, in the negative three column for the week. But he came good. He was awesome. He smashed out 101 points in the next three quarters. So, yeah, look, and he was my only defender that scored a ton this week. So,
and just on guys coming good, what about Swanee having 7 at the quarter?
Yeah, so, Warnie, you've got both of those. They combined for 11 at the end of a quarter.
That's not real good.
And you're still here with us.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. The thing is, though, this is part, and people were saying this to me on Twitter. I put out there on Twitter, I said to Swanee, lift up, big boy.
Yeah.
Come into the Warndogs this week.
Yeah.
He checked his phone at quarter time and he went out there and pigged it up
that's
for
me.
That's
your job as a coach.
Then Cade Simpson did it on Saturday afternoon. I tweeted about that.
Did you really?
Guess what? He checked his phone too and came good.
There you go.
And yeah, so that was all fairly positive for the Warndogs in the end.
It's positive for AFL fantasy because we wouldn't have had a podcast if those two had us.
All right, Roy, who was your big dog?
Beamer.
Beamer.
I went in loophole captain, so how could you deny that? He was my highest scorer for the round. Brilliant effort, Beamer. Often misses my plus threes because I have such high expectations for him. He achieves them every week, but he just doesn't get the plus threes.
Yep. And that's the thing. He's averaging 120 points
this
year.
And
we all knew he was going to be good
because
we got him for under 100, priced at under 100. So he's just doing his job, but doing it even more than what we expected.
And this week was his third consecutive 130-plus score.
Ooh. You're kidding me.
No, Pirate's got his hat on. He's watching him.
That's amazing. Arr. Awesome. So plus three, Beamer.
Alrighty, boys. Now, it has been a pretty big week. It was interesting. I guess a few of the positive things or the good news stories is that there's no one suspended this week from the match review panel, which
How
is good.
Is that?
Yes.
Well, I was a little bit worried about one of my bench boys, old Alexis Georgiou.
I know.
After he whacked that one on Buddy, I thought, oh, that's at least 2 weeks, I thought, even though it was a little bit of a little bit of a slap.
He was going for the arm.
He was. But yeah, no.
He did clip him.
He's there, and he might even get himself to 200K very soon.
I highly doubt it.
So that was a good thing. We also saw some guys that are back a little bit, Roy, and you were a bit excited about your boy, Mark Murphy. Not that you're picking him yet.
No, well, I tell you what, he did come under consideration. He's got a handy buy there. Now, Murphy, what I like about him most is his tackling. He's gone back-to-back double-figure tackles in the last 2 weeks, and he's pumped out 2 140s. There's no coincidence there, boys.
So is it worth jumping on him, do you
think? It definitely is. Yeah, it is. If he fits your team, he's definitely worth having over the buys as a minimum.
He'll definitely get the tag from McCaffrey this week.
Yep.
But as you said, he's still tackling. He gets 40 points there.
Yeah, so if he's tackling, he's back and he's worth picking.
Yeah, and he's up over 500 grand now. Still a fair bit of growth left in him with his low break even. So, yeah, definitely worth thinking about.
Yeah, right.
Now, the forward line, though, gentlemen. This is where most of us had our dramas this week. I think Zorko was probably the only one that really stood up over the weekend.
He should have got my plus three now, think about it.
Yeah, 122, he was good over there.
I had Parker as well. There was two forwards for me that went all right. Had 110.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so a few issues in the forward line. Now, a few people have got him, and that would be Buddy Franklin. He was subbed off in the third quarter with a bit of a knee knock, apparently. That's what it was. So he only had 41 points.
Did he hit it on the first, second, third, or fourth cut?
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Right. So,
sorry.
Now, we all talked him up as one of the bargains of this year. There was always risk with him. We didn't think too much about that form would be that big an issue, but he's gone down 40 grand from his starting price from what we thought
was a bargain. Now, I thought he was potentially back and worth picking up because he had 200s in his last three games.
Yep.
Pretty impressive.
Yep.
Underpriced.
Yep.
And then this.
Now he's got 200s in his last four and a pretty ordinary score in there. I think the thing is, he's just crossed completely off my list. I'd like to have the option in our fantasy comp just to go, yep, get rid of him. Don't want him to even come up in my list anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think he can get cheap enough for me to want to pick him up.
Oh, he'll sit on my bench at the end of the year, so I can say at least it's a good name sitting there.
That's right.
Oh, it can look intimidating for other guys.
Exactly.
Now, Calvin, you picked up Alex Fasolo.
I did. What a great pick.
And you were riding high.
Plus three. Can I give him plus six, he said.
What a superstar. Now, before he even went off as a sub.
Yes.
How many points did he have at half time or something?
I'm well aware of his score warning.
He had 100. No, he's a keeper now. He's a keeper. I'm locking him for the rest of the year. Why do I need to have anyone else?
Okay, firstly, I don't talk like that. secondly, he didn't have 100. He had 110.
Oh, okay.
Right? 110.
Oh, well, so he's averaging about, what, 60 for the last fortnight?
Yes, that's disappointing. What was he doing out there?
Yeah, he was playing poorly.
In the first quarter, not even a Collingwood player touched the ball. That's understandable. The Pig had 7 points. But he was nowhere to be seen. How many touches did he have for the game?
Yeah, not many.
It's like 4 or 5 touches. Yeah.
It wasn't real good. But the thing is, so the Pies have, he's had scans, and apparently it's not that bad. But because they've got the bye in a fortnight, he's definitely not going to play this week by the sounds of it. No. So I think with 2 weeks out, and obviously round 8's a pretty tough round for a lot of people with their selections, them having the bye, he needs to go.
He's got to go and upgrade it if possible to someone not in that round 8 bye. So obviously if you're looking at a guy like Danger, that would probably be the wrong pick this week for him. He's worth about 300 grand.
Yep. Which is just shy, 292.
Yeah, 292. It's a bit more than I thought I had when I went to play with him today. And I'm actually looking at him to someone like a Dale House, who is, well, he's dominating.
That hurts me.
I know.
It does. And we picked him.
And I'll be walking around with a little chest
bagged us out for picking Dale House.
No, I didn't bag you out.
You frowned on it.
I didn't frown upon it. So he is a guy, and he's got a good buy at Dale House as well. So, and we'll talk more about that later, but that should square it up a little bit for me. Yeah,
now, nice. Another forward that got subbed out was Sam Lloyd. A lot of people have got him. I do, and I'm playing him on my ground. Thought that he'd be good enough. He obviously had that big score in his debut.
And Woody was walking around going, oh, I've got Sam Lloyd, and he's just all buffed out.
Yeah, he was good.
At least he's playing this week.
As well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I thought maybe Griffiths or someone would have got subbed out before Lloyd, but he got it.
So Lloyd, 42 he ended up with. His break-even's up to 9 now, so potentially he doesn't have a lot more money to make. He's, I don't know. I'm very, very interested to see where he end up. He's 233 now. Might get to 250, but that could be about where it is. It'd be nice to be able to upgrade him. Again, he's another round 8 buy player.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. His teammate, Calvin.
Oh, my God.
Dustin Martin,
let's just sit in the forward line for the first 3 quarters and do nothing.
What do you have at 3 quarter time?
He had 27.
Yeah.
27 points. He was awful. He could not get near it. That last quarter, if you don't mind picking it up to save yourself.
Yeah, he got up to 71 points in the end.
Which
he's done that 2 weeks in a row
if
now.
If you didn't watch the game and all you did is check the scores at the end of it, I doubt anyone would ever do that. if someone is smart enough to do that, you would have gone, oh, Dusty was pretty poor, 70, I'll take it. Wow, to get to that point, it was a roller
44
coaster.
44 points in the last quarter.
Yep, good maths, well done,
Thank
Calvin.
You.
but yeah, so is he someone, is he going to be in our top 6 forwards at the end of the year?
He will definitely just keep his spot in my team doing annoying stuff like this. Will he be in the top 6? I don't know. Probably not. I don't know if he will sneak in there.
It might be the change of guards. We should get on Dale House instead, Roy.
Oh, we should.
Now, what about Rewalt? What's going on there, Dom?
Oh, well, there was a genius pick for me from the start of the year.
And it still is. No wonder.
I've got Rewalt.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I am unbiased here. I'm someone that didn't have Rewalt, but I want him. Ground was not
AFL really standard.
Fit for
is
AFL.
That right? No.
And when Bolt is classy like that, he needs to be given a good ground. He copped a big knock early as well. He eventually ran through that and he finished well. He did well to get to 59 in the end, but you know, he was hurt, but it's not something that's going
to keep
him out.
It's important to know what sort of surface your players are playing on.
Yeah.
Most of the grounds in Australia are sand-based surfaces. That was a dirt-based surface, and that's a little bit of an issue. So you might want to trade players out if they're playing on dirt-based surface. I don't know. That's something I heard on the radio.
Bit of news, the last bit of news we actually do need to cover is two people who have been giving misleading information to the AFL fantasy public by the name of W. Warndog and D. Destroy here on my right.
What do you mean?
Is this newsworthy?
Let's get Hooker. Let's get Griffin. Okay. We did a podcast and a show last week. I said, let's get Swan, and I went ahead and did it, and everyone was patting me on the back going, oh, you're a legend, Calvin. You tell people to pick up those blokes. Hooker has 49, Griffin has 60, and you don't even go through with the trades. Explain yourself.
We're competing against all these people as well.
You can't!
No, I honestly thought that Griffin would be all right. He was coming back, I thought. He was almost getting there. But honestly, he might be another one that I might need a little X button to get rid of him. So that's my justification. He's,
Roy?
He was coming... Yeah, I don't know. The old attack dogs, he's not the right answer, Roy? I don't think.
Okay. Hooker was averaging about 12 marks a game. And at the stage where I said I was getting him in, I did have him in. So he was sitting there. But unfortunately, the hooker blew it prematurely and I kicked him out. It's time for our Twitter and Facebook questions. Remember, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at RoyDT, at WarnieDT, and at Calvinator.
Calvin! It's just at Calvin. You always do this.
Sorry. Just at Calvin.
At
just
Calvin.
No, at CalvinDT.
Oh, oh right. Sorry. At CalvinDT. If you want us to answer your fantasy questions, we get around as many of them as we can. Or, yeah, you can ask your questions on Facebook as well. Now, Warnie, you've got a few over there for us.
Yeah, cop these ones through the at AFL Fantasy handle. And first one comes from, well, we've got two here, about your mate, Fasalo,
oh,
Calvin.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the first one here. Well, let's say Shem and Jake, it's all put in together, but I think Shem's question works out to be the best. Do you think I should bring in Jed Lamb, or do you think it is a bad idea?
How did he spell you?
E-W.
Yes! Of course he did!
Hilarious. Now, what do you think about that, Calvin? Because you're in that sort of situation.
That's a good joke.
It's a great
hilarious.
Joke.
Well done, Shem. Well played.
Let's refocus on the question
now.
So, hang on, I'll say it in the easy way. Jake says... Thoughts on Jed Lamb for Fasolo? There you go.
No. Jed Lamb's not any good, is he?
Cal?
He's actually going all right.
Is he?
Yeah, he's gone back-to-back 80s, 85 and 87.
Get him in!
And he copped a vest in his first game for 55, which was still a pretty solid score in the time that he played.
He's obviously scoring a lot higher than what you'd expect.
Well, I had him in my pre-season team early, and then it looked like he was out of favour slightly. I don't know. If a straight swap is what you need to do, is that all right, Kate?
And that's it. It is a straight swap. I think you make $8,000 or something out of it. It's not much, but yeah.
If you can upgrade.
Yeah.
Right, of course. Yeah. You know, make a good situation out of a bad.
Yeah.
I reckon your brain's ticking over now, Calvin.
Oh, I am now.
We'll get to your trades later on.
Who is
right.
this lamb you speak of?
Moving on. Here we go. Some cash cow thinking. Do you think Tyson to Hallahan or even Salem for the same buy structure? What do you think of doing that, Roy?
I like Hallahan. His job security isn't as good because he plays for a good team, not a bad one. However, he had 85 or so on the weekend. He lost the vest from the previous week, which in his quarter or so, he got 30.
He still did well, yeah.
Yeah, he did really well. So he can score. He looks like he should hold his spot, at least through the buys.
And that's the key, isn't it?
That is the key, as well as that extra money you make from going to him. So that is clearly my choice on that one.
Yeah. Nice one. All right, so let's have a look here. The round 9 and 10 defenders we're having a look at, because Docker DJ, he wants to know, what round 9 or 10 buy defenders should I trade in for Enright? Who should we be looking
at? We have a few. You've got, obviously, Cade Simpson and Hanley. You could obviously be grabbing those. But the best three in order, I reckon, Sam Mitchell.
Yep.
Your mate Hibbo Dog.
He should be number 1.
No, he's number 2. And then Jared McVeigh. But... Yeah. I've heard a little thing on the Roy's rumour mill about Jared McVeigh, and I reckon Roy might be telling us something later on, Roy.
I might do.
Stay tuned for that one. I think there's a little bit going on there. Yeah, no, I'd have Hibbo. He gets a job done each week.
He's second on the list, Doug.
Yeah, all right. Moving along here, this one comes from Clint. Interesting question here. Can Dave Swallow get back to up around the 100 mark, or is 70-80 it? If so, is he still a keeper, or do we cash him in given his break-even, which is about 96, so about what he's averaging? I don't know.
If your team is good enough that is your biggest issue, well done. Enjoy winning the competition. But I think there's got to be bigger issues than that. I think he should... Well, at the start of the year, and we even spoke about in an episode last week, we thought about 90.
Yeah.
And I'm still at that. And I think that's good enough to keep, especially at this stage.
I think 70 to 80 is a bit of a low mark. But I wonder if he's looking at him as well because he does have that round 8 bye. And maybe he's trying to offload it just to even out his numbers a bit.
Well, if you need to do that, I mean, you do what you've got to do.
Do what you've got
to
do.
But I think he will be there for me at the end of the year, scoring his 90s.
Yep, agree.
All right, now, Lockie, he wants to know, this one came from Facebook, is it worth getting the King Pig in for John Selwood or Stevie J? I think you'd keep Stevie J, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. At this stage, or should I ride out Selwood's disgusting form?
Okay, I know the answer to this because I've been riding out on my scooter for a very long time, dog.
This is Joel Selwood.
Yeah, that's the same Selwood, though. Like, if it's a Selwood... listen, no, you're not understanding. Selwood form and Selwood form. This is that we're talking about a bad run here.
Which Selwood?
Oh, this... Scott Selwood's been terrible, right?
Yeah.
Joel Selwood's been terrible. I stuck with Scott Selwood for too long. So my point to this bloke is... get rid of Joel Selwood and upgrade
and pick up
him to and upgrade him to a pig.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Jesus. Well, if you didn't interrupt me.
Oh, oh God.
And right. I reckon the guy was saying, should I upgrade him to Steve Johnson?
Oh.
Not like get rid of Steve.
No, he wouldn't have been. I've probably got write your questions properly. Yeah. Sorry, Lockie.
Learn to breathe.
Well, all right then. The question is Stevie J or the pig?
The pig, just for value.
Value. Great answer, Calvin.
Thank you.
Well done.
Jesus.
All right, now, Roy, can you put on a pirate hat or something? Here's a question from Kane. He wants to know, I need some ideas with who to go as captain. Roy.
Roy wouldn't know.
What? Dane Beams. That's who you go as captain.
Oh, yeah, good option.
Thank you, Calvin.
Apparently you've been crunching numbers all day.
I have been doing a little bit of work. Look, there's a fair few you got to like this week, and I don't think you can get it wrong.
Okay.
Anyone between, you know, your Swan, your Beams, your Ablett, and your Stevie J, they're all going to be awesome this week. So I don't think you can go wrong with it. Guys to probably avoid, though, are people like this. Dangerfield against Melbourne.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that is his worst team.
Yeah.
Over his career, averages 61 against them.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And, of course, Sam Mitchell is destined for a bit of a tough tag that Rockcliffe got from Tom Curran last week.
He's going all right.
Yep.
Curran.
And a little bit of a rumour mill about that one as well.
Roy
look, guys like Joe Watson and that, they're a bit out of favour at the moment, aren't they? They're not doing really good. But
No.
Him and Cochin.
Watching. I'm not watching either of them because they're pathetic at the moment, but Watson and Cochin, yeah. You'd take them right out of your captain's calculation.
Here's a smoky for you, though, dog. Ooh. Your boy, Kane Corns.
Oh, geez, he turned around for
119
me.
Last week.
He was good.
And in his last two games against GWS, 120, 116.
Lock. So I'm making him my captain.
I reckon.
Yeah, I'd do it then.
All right.
Righto, we've got to look at our trades, and this week I want you two to tell the truth.
I will tell the truth, because I always do. I am getting Hallahan in for Griffiths to make a little bit of money, bit of dual position there. And I am getting, this is interesting, Tom Liberatore in. For Dom Tyson.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good for my buys. And if you have a look, Tom Liberatore's record against his next two opponents is through the roof. So I should get a bit out of him, I reckon.
Oh, very good. Mm.
Downgrade, upgrade.
Yeah, old school.
Beautiful. All right. I'm telling the truth as well. Oh. The thing is...
you got your fingers crossed.
Last week, I told the truth at that point. That's what I was doing at that point. Until I just decided I wanted to get the pig instead of Griffin. So I was quite happy. All right, what I'm looking at is I went... Griffiths to Hallahan, a bit like you, Roy. Yes, a bit of a cash grab there. Griffiths is done. Hallahan, I think he should be around for those buys. Good for buy structure with that as well for me.
Yep.
But what I'm going to do, rather than an upgrade like you are, I'm stockpiling a heap of cash. I'm up to 325 grand at the moment.
Yeah.
I like that for the buys. But I'm going to get rid of Joel Selwood. He's frustrated me far too much now. Again, he's another round 8 by player. So I'm going to go over to Sam Mitchell, which then I've got a bit of a dual position link going on, which will then he'll eventually go back and my back line will be completed. So that's good. But yeah.
Quite a complex little system the Dawn Dogs
got. Yeah, smart. 325k in the bank. Ching!
I love it. It's good. Money in the bank means less points on the field. That's what I say at Team
Captain. Is that where I'm going wrong?
That's where you're going wrong.
Are you getting interest on that?
I hope so.
You should get
otherwise
into.
It's pointless. Calvin.
There we go. What I'm doing,
buddy.
Well done. What I'm doing is I'm going for Solo to Dale House. And I'm also going Griffiths, who plays Geelong this week and will struggle big time.
Yeah.
I'm going him to Reece Shaw.
Controversial.
I know.
It is.
Now, Reece has gone 112-107 in his last two games.
It's impressive. He's in form.
Flash in the pan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But this is why I'm doing it. Okay. Now,
into the mind of Carolina.
Last week, we talked about the ultimate numbers of the buy structure coming in.
Mm.
So how many players you should have out over the three buys. And we said the numbers were 8, 10 and 12.
Yeah, right.
Is a great setup. And then you could use the guys in the round 10 buy by bringing in guys in the round 8 or 9.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. By doing these trades, it adjusts my numbers to 8, 9, 13.
Very good.
Which is very close to perfect.
Yeah.
With Reece Shaw, I can then use Reece Shaw later on as a stepping stone to, instead of having all this money in the bank like the Warn Dog does, I've got a little bit of invested money on the field of a guy who's gone 112-107. Yeah. His price will...
He's 344. He's got a break-even of 9.
Yeah.
So,
And he will slowly rise up a bit over the next couple of weeks, and then I'll use him to someone else.
This is the way
well justified.
This is the way that we should be playing this game, I think, now, with our two trades per week every week, and just like monitoring break evens, just getting on a guy that's destined, that's going to go up.
Yeah.
There is risk with that because Reece Shaw could come out and score 50s,
and
they're points you're missing out on because you've gone with this cheaper option.
So are you banning him from complaining about that score when
it happens? And that's the thing. Okay, that's the risk that you take.
Yes, I know that, but it's going to be better than Griffiths, Will, is it?
It might not be. It will be more frustrating than a Griffiths 40, I can
tell you. Jed Lamb, I'd get him instead.
But then I'd get Dalhouse.
You just don't want him getting Dalhouse.
Dalhouse plays Melbourne.
But, yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
There you go. Back in your box.
Yeah. All right. Don't get my boy Dalhouse.
All right. Just before we go, now, Roy.
Yes.
Let's talk Roy's rumour mill. What have you heard?
Roy's rumour mill.
Well, I've heard that there's a couple of things in the mix. Apparently, like, Curran...
Where do you hear this?
That's just word on the street.
Right.
Like, he is hell-bent on stopping Mitchell this week. So, you know, Warndog's bringing him in, but, you know, he is willing to sacrifice his game, apparently, just to make a name for himself and... What
is that what you're hearing?
That's I'm just saying what I've heard. Yep. Like, apparently he said it. I don't know. And the other one, McVay. Now, this one is serious. He, in the second half last week, it was obvious he had a bit of a leg complaint.
Yes.
And there was some heavy strapping.
There was.
But just in one spot on his calf. Looked like it might have been a cork or something. But at the end of it, the strapping, by the end of the last quarter, strapping went from knee to ankle.
Right.
Which usually means it's a pulled calf. Now, they... had their sub already, so he really limped around for the last 20 minutes. He looked injured. I was watching him closely because I had him. He was on track for 100. That last quarter, he limped around, barely touched it. When they were walking off as a team, him and someone else were at the front of the line, and he was limping.
Uh-oh.
And his mate next to him, I could read his lips, and he said, "Are you right, mate?" Because he was limping pretty obviously.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, what's he going to say? So I was trying to read McVay's lips.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite tell what he said, but it sort of looked like it was either it's all right, it's just a corky, or no, it's screwed.
Yep.
Like, it's I've done my calf. So,
jeez.
Yeah, either way, I couldn't really tell. But given the fact that he's an old campaigner, you would probably think he's pulled his calf under 2 weeks. You heard it first here.
There you go.
Oh, well.